Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Whoo, Messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Wicker Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh, yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. We're recording this on August the 1st, 2018, and tonight we're going to be talking some NWA WCW from April the 25th, 1987. It wasn't on the network, but it was on YouTube, so we were able to look at it, watch it, give our thoughts, and review it. I'm sitting here with Doc and Hopper. This was an interesting episode, but before we get into it, Doc, how you doing this morning, man? Or tonight? What am I saying this morning for?
I'm doing great, man. We got some things to talk about in a little bit with some patrons, some big announcements. Yeah, I'm feeling great, man. So blessing, you know, right. The usual.
10-4. Harper, what about you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Fantastic.
Okay. Are we stopping you from watching anything tonight? Golden Girls, anything like that?
No.
Okay.
That's officer, in the morning.
An officer and a gentleman, maybe.
That's nice. Hopper, yeah. While we're sitting here, I want you to Google in Urban Dictionary the term powdered munchkin.
Oh, God.
Was that
like a midget or something?
That can't be good, can it?
As you're Googling it, I'm going to tell you a story. So, weird news of the week. It's wrestling related, but weird news of the week. Go ahead, Harper, look it up. Don't explode when
you
see it.
That's those things from fucking Dunkin' Donuts.
Just look up a powdered munchkin on Urban Dictionary. So, we're getting a lot more traffic on the YouTube channel lately. And MaestroDog65 on the YouTube channel says he was listening to a show of ours. And we were talking about Urban Dictionary discussions. And we were talking about how Cornette used powder a lot. Like back in the day when he was, he'd throw
Harper,
powder.
I think Harper just read it.
Okay, yeah. He did. But hold on. Cornette used a lot of powder back in the day on the heels. I mean, we've talked about this. We've seen him use powder in Jim Crockett Promotions in Smoky Mountain at least 5 or 6 times. But so it got him to looking up different definitions for powder in Urban Dictionary when he stumbled upon a powdered munchkin. Harper, you want to tell the people what a powdered munchkin is as we keep it unprofessional on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast?
A powdered munchkin, when you put Gold Bond medicated powder on your nuts and drop them in your girl's mouth. That's nice.
I mean, we've probably all been a part of some sick shit, but if you ever just dropped your nut in some girl's mouth, and I don't mean just here's a ball in your mouth. Girls don't normally go for that.
No, that's got to be gross.
Especially with Gold Bond medicated powder on it.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
What the hell's wrong with people?
Man.
So, I just had to mention that after seeing that comment on the YouTube channel. Someone was trying to look up something for powder and stumbled upon.
Man, you got to stay off. You got to stay off Urban Dictionary, or you'll be there for the rest of the night, man.
Jesus Christ, you would be. It's pretty bad.
You know what I love listening to is fucking Cornette go off on fucking Tim Horner. I probably listen to that about 4 or 5 times a week.
Oh, have
you ever heard him go
off? Yellow.
Have you ever heard him go off on Kenny King?
I started listening to that one, and then I turned it off. I had to go, but yeah, that one's next.
It's a long one, but it's pretty damn epic. He goes off. You know what's funny? We're talking about Cornette. We're going to get to the show in a second, the NWA portion. Harper listened to Alice Radley for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Doc. No. Listen, he listened to why she left the Cornette experience. And we haven't talked about it, but he texted me and said something. And I don't know, Harper, did you want to mention it on air, what you thought?
Well, because I've always wondered whatever happened to that broad. And then I found it. Someone must have, put it on fucking YouTube. And I was like, man, she sounded like a fucking head case.
Dude, I guarantee you she had the furriest bush in pot.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So,
and she looked like she just got drafted into the fucking army with the fucking hair.
Wow. So, the reason I asked Harper this is because one of the things Alice says why she quit was she, like, people were bad-mouthing her and harassing her on social media and calling her names and just all kind of shit. So, let me, I don't think we're, like, superstars by any sense of the imagination.
Speak for your motherfucking self.
We're not on with Cornette.
No, motherfucker.
We're not on with Cornette, we got a really good audience for an independent show, but she talked about how people mistreated her. Let me read you all an email that I got from someone in the BTT mailbox. I got this about a month ago, and I was on the fence about reading it until Harper led me back to the Alice video, and then I read it. I'm sorry, I listened to it. Somebody anonymously said, and I'm not going to give out the email address, "Hey, asshole, you suck. You sound like an ignorant N-word, but you look like white trash.
Oh, fuck.
You look like white trash. You guys' classic wrestling knowledge is garbage. Your jokes ain't funny. You're a douche and a scumbag. You clowns are trash of society. Please neuter yourself." Well, I'm already neutered, so that ain't going to happen. I've already procreated, so if I neuter myself, really? That's not going to do much. So I can't help you there, buddy. But I appreciate the compliment and you listening and calling me a trash of society, as you probably sit there and...
You know what? This guy's right, though. Because you
Harper. You hey, Harper. Things. Harper. It was me. It was me that sent that.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I just felt like sharing that with you.
Right.
All.
You know what? Here's the thing. If you like us and you like listening to this and you're being blessed by it, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then she's like, well,
if you're paying us, hold on. If you're paying us money, that's even better.
Yeah.
But if you don't like me, dude, that does not concern me. That's not my problem.
That's what I said. Anyway, we'll keep it moving. I get a few tweets and emails like that from time to time. But that was a good one because home skillet there decided to drop
did
the
N
word.
He dropped the full N word, right?
Yeah, he can go fuck himself too.
And he called you. And he called you trash.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I assume he didn't address Mike or Harper. I assumed he was talking about me.
Well, since you sound blackest, we'll put it on you.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There we go. Okay.
Hey, I want to do something here. I want to say, first of all, the patrons have been going crazy from what I understand about the Broads episode.
Jesus Christ.
So let me throw a bucket of warm piss on a blanket to create the proverbial wet blanket. Dude, that ain't happening no more. You can put that fantasy out of your mind because I do this for fun and to get away. So if you think we're going to bring these broads on on a regular basis, I quit. I'll just quit. And I'll take Harper with me. We ain't doing that. Now, I do want to tell you, and I'm not going to give all the details because we're not ready to iron them out yet, but I guarantee you the first episode of what we're talking about will drop before the Mid-South episode does. We've been talking about a potential third show.
Jesus Christ, there's already a third show. It's called the World Class Show.
But we're not a part of that, so we don't care.
Yeah,
okay.
Up yours.
And all I got to say is, if you're out there and you're on the fence about becoming a patron, you might want to stop paying your child support and get your dollars saved up, because this one's going to be for the patrons only.
All right.
That's all I'm willing to say right now, but look, I'm the guy who brought you Smoky Mountain. The whole idea was mine. I'm the guy who brought you the NWA review show. It was my idea to do top fives back in the day. It was my idea to ask Harper to become a regular member of this show. So if I tell you I've got an idea, you better book it. That was my idea, too. I said that the first show. So all his, these are my ideas.
It was his idea to get Harper on. He didn't even know Harper until he knew
That's how fantastic how many feelers I have out into the world. Okay. I can source talent across the globe.
Great. Well, I tell you what, we'll make that announcement at the end of this show. We're thinking about doing, and we don't have a rollout date, but we will make that announcement. Harper will find out for the first time on air. Here we go. But it's something we've actually already done, if that's a little tease until the end of the show. All right, let's keep going. Facebook group.
We're going to get blown on air or take pictures on air? That's about all we do.
All right, couple of things. The Facebook group, the new Facebook group. Go to Facebook, search Book in the Territory - the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, or go to tinyurl.com /BTTFB group, and that is a way to get to the new Facebook group. The page is still there, the old page with over 8,000 followers, but I created a group for you all to talk, have fun, and bullshit about the show, and it's been a blast on there, man. That's where we got the feedback that everybody, dude. I can't tell you how many comments were made about the ECW show we did. People fucking loved it.
I got an idea. Why don't you put that guy who sent you the emails email account on the Facebook group and let them go get him?
Oh, God, Nah.
That's a great idea.
I just wanted to read it to show people the type of bullshit we got to deal with sometimes.
So on top of all that work we do to get on top of all the watching and notes and getting together – then we got to put up with that shit.
I ain't putting up with nothing. I read it, kept it moving. But I wanted to bring it up because when I heard Alice crying about people making fun of her and sending her insensitive emails, I was like, woman, please.
Yeah, and then she says, "Is all y'all care about is pro wrestling?" I'm like, yeah.
That's about it. fixing some booze and some titties, and we're there.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this is the one thing she said on there too. You're on a podcast with Cornette. What the hell else do you? He's a wrestling nerd. Cornette's one of the greater performers in wrestling history. But he's the one thing he is besides that is he's a fucking wrestling nerd. And I say that in a complimentary way. What the hell did you think you were going to talk about with him on a podcast 2 times a week?
She's lucky that he actually took an interest in politics in his later life, so that he had something else to talk about.
Yeah. Right, you're right, and right. Even if you don't agree with it, shit, at least he was talking about something else. But I'm like, woman, what did you expect from being on a show with him? And so
all we have is crude humor and our shitty classic wrestling knowledge.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got. And making fun of saps, you know. So
hey. Man, I'm getting tired of the way you were spoken to. I say we just shut it down tonight. I'm not in the mood anymore.
It's all good in the neighborhood, whatever. I love when people call me a douche and a scumbag, though, and I sit there and think to myself, I resent that remark. I ain't been to jail. I don't have a criminal record. What are you talking about?
You never been
pal?
To jail?
No, never. Not once.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine that.
I've been to jail.
Oh, jeez.
Would you mind telling us what happened when that happened?
I had to spend a night in OPP once when I was like 21, 22 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Patron episode.
All right.
Patron episode. There you go. Let's keep going. Couple of quick shout-outs. Shout-out to Tony C. on our Facebook group for becoming a new patron. Tony is a relatively new listener. We greatly appreciate the support of the show, so thank you, Tony. And then also shout-out to Ethan on the Facebook page for becoming a new patron as well. For Tony and Ethan and the rest of the patrons out there, make sure you guys download the Podbean app. That is how you can access all of the patron shows, which is currently about 85 at last count, patron-only shows, including the world-class shows and all those other things. Again, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis, and it gets you access to all of those episodes that are behind the paywall with more to come, as Doc teased earlier. Let's get into this thing. We got NWA WCW from April 25th, 1987. The show kicks off. Crockett and Schiavone announced that the first round of the tournament for the U.S. Tag Team title starts today. And then they kick it to a match Opening match is Animal without Hawk versus Chance McQuaid. Animal wins as we get the original music for it, since it's on YouTube and not on the network. We got the original Road Warrior music. I bet you that got a rise out of you, right, Doc?
Jesus Christ, my ears perked up. I was like, what the whole? Oh, yeah. Somebody's ass is about to get whooped.
Dude. Totally different feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt real. Yeah, it felt real. It felt like it was right, man. It was like, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but there's just a lot of this that showed me how much WWF cleans up and sanitizes shit. And this felt like my youth watching this shit all the way through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because you had to sit there for 2 hours if you didn't skip through the commercials.
Right.
And why would you do that? We'll get into those in a minute, but why would you want to do that? This was a time capsule, pal.
Yeah, it was.
it really was. It was a time capsule. Harper, your thoughts on the music when Animal's music hit?
You know, I'm so used to hearing that. That fucking fake music, and I heard the fucking Black Sabbath. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot.
That sense of that poor man in the ring is about to be murdered came out, washed over me.
Yeah.
If y'all ever get the time on the drives that Tim Moretti gave us, shout out to Hall of Famer Tim Moretti, on those worldwide episodes, when the Warriors music hits and it's that Black Sabbath, that fucking crowd pops. And it's electric in the building. They jump up. And I'm not talking about rock and roll level jump up where you hear the girl scream. You know what I'm saying? It's the fucking dudes in that building and everybody just pop. Whoa, you know. Different type of pop than the rock and roll. But they come unglued when that shit hits. When that... I can't do it. But
dude, my kid is six. That song came out 3 years before I was born. And he'll be like, we were going to a soccer game last spring, and he was like, can you put on Iron Man? That shit, he goes, that gets me ready to play. Okay.
6 years old. Okay, Latrell, sure. Anything else that'll help
you? I'll tell you in a minute what he told me the other night, what song he wants me to play on the way to his games this year, and it's relevant to this episode. I will say this. It was fantastic to hear Iron Man again. But the jump in music was even better for Jimmy Garvin to come out to Sharp Dressed Man based on that horseshit that he comes out to. They have him coming out to. That sounded right, too.
As we're talking about that.
It's the perfect fucking music for him.
It's perfect. Yeah. And it goes with it if he's a heel or babyface, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's still wearing glitter pants no matter what
right.
he's.
Right. So after Animal wins, they do go to a promo. Not going to play it, but Ellering was actually pretty good here. The promo is the reason I say not going to play it is they're promoting going to Florida, Phoenix, and Philly, and the purpose of the promo was that. But I do want to ask Harper, did you catch Ellering's Spud McKenzie shirt?
Yes. Dude, those shirts were fucking everywhere back then. They were at like JCPenney's and Sears and shit.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
God, they were everywhere.
That dog probably got more pussy back then than you did, Mike.
That's nice. Really?
What? Yeah.
Come on, bro. All right.
Bitches will do anything for money.
I'm not going to comment on that. I just shared my screen with y'all. That way we can watch the promos when I get to them. So after that promo, I know what you're looking at. We got Garvin, who defeats David Diamond. I don't have anything else from that. Doc, did you?
Well, between the matches, we should say, not only are we getting treated to some fantastic commercials, but we're also getting the local promos for May 1st. At the Omni, where they're trying to talk us in the building. And you know what? They're standing there in front of that just blue wall. And I was like, man, this just feels like territory wrestling. I love it.
I know. It shows you how much WWE cuts out.
Right.
Which sucks.
One of these days, y'all will have time to watch the Worldwides. Or who knows? We may go back and watch them as a group. And you will see all the local promos, which are fantastic. They are. They really are. Because you see them from the... Go ahead, Doc.
Well, on one of those damn early commercials, I saw that you could buy a fucking new Ford 87 Ford Ranger for like 6,000, 7,000 bucks.
Yeah, no, bro, that's crazy. Buying a new
I wanted to roll down to the dealership, and maybe buy three or four of them sons of
bitches. And then one of them had a quart of Castrol motor oil for 79 fucking cents. You know how much a quart of fucking Castrol fucking oil costs now? That like Pep Boys, it's like $5 or $6.
Man, I'm serious. I was like, I could go roll down to whatever Decatur, Georgia buttfuck dealership this is and go buy me three. This is my car for Tuesdays. I only drive. Be like Stone Cold. This is my 87 Ford Bronco. This is my 93 Mitsubishi. I only drive this one on Wednesdays in March. Okay. Shit used to be affordable. How do poor people do it today?
I don't really know. We had that talk earlier. Let's keep going. We got Vladimir Petrov, Ivan Koloff versus Ron Garvin and Barry Windham. I already know what Doc's going to say because he told me earlier. This is a first-round match for the tournament in the U.S. Tag Title Tournament. I wish they'd show the goddamn brackets, but they haven't, although I do
have them. I went looking for him, too, and I couldn't find him.
I got them. I mean, I can share it with you now, or I was going to wait till next week, but it doesn't really matter. I'd have to pull it up. Okay. So, Doc, you want to say what you complained about with this, with Garvin and Barry Windham?
I don't remember what I said, but I know what I have written down.
What?
Well, you told me, you're like, why are they tag teaming? Why is Garvin
So I had a couple of thoughts. So why is Garvin back with Windham after Ronnie, it seemed like they got the belts off of him so that the Garvin's brothers could be a tag team, and now Garvin and Windham are back together. That seemed confusing to me. Second of all, what a fucking long match.
Yeah, no, huh?
This thing
very
went on
long.
It almost went on too long, and here's why I think that's true. Everyone in that ring was a treat to watch except for Petrov. I mean, I loved it when you had Ivan and Ronnie in there together, man. That was awesome when those two were square. I mean, I love Windham, but just two raw bone ass whippers just standing across from each other. That shit was really fun to watch.
And this was the first time I don't think we've seen Garvin just fucking manhandle somebody.
Well, he also sold too.
You're right.
He sold
a real match for him.
He sold more for the Russians than he did for Flair back in Christmas Night a couple of years ago.
I don't know. He sold for Flair, but they beat the shit out of each other too.
I also thought that we went a long time to get a real shitty finish.
Yeah,
dude. Why would you listen to fucking Nikita?
Right. First of all, you can't understand what he's saying. There's no way Ted Long understood what Nikita said. Second of all, they do that shit a lot in territory wrestling. I'm like, man, fuck a babyface. They're just lying to get to help their friends, man.
Yeah, it's like he's not like an NWA official. He's not with Crockett. He'll get, like, get the fuck out of here.
And he's got a personal issue with the guys that he's saying cheated.
Right.
So you're talking about...
He used to be a heel. See, how much do we really trust him?
So what Doc and Harper are talking about is Nikita interrupts the match when a pin is about to happen because Vladimir Petrov used a chain on Garvin. And Teddy Long just believes Nikita and says, all right, hell no, the Russians are DQ'd. Garvin and Windham win, and that's the finish.
Dude, that's a tournament match for titles. The fuck?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the time period we're in. Shit like that happened. I agree. Why are we always listening to the babyface? Like, the babyface will never lie. I mean, shit.
You're right.
Especially in 87. But, you know, that's what was going on back then. We'll keep going. They show like I'm not even about to talk about these Willie Nelson and Dusty Rhodes. Because what is it there to talk about? It went on for 15 seconds.
That Flair video was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they show it 50 fucking times in the episode.
Here's the thing. Let me back up. Mike, what do you really know about Willie Nelson? Do you know much?
Smokes a lot of weed.
He sure does.
Well, that's all there is to know. And by the way, Harper, 59 cents for quart of oil equates to $1.32 in today's dollars, which means that basically
somebody is getting paid and it ain't
a quart of oil is $3 to $4 more nowadays than it was in relative dollars than it was in 87. So there you go.
Because like Castrol, that was like that's a big brand oil. That's not like the cheap like fucking store brand oil.
Right. Mud show oil.
Mud show.
And for $7,500, that car you were talking about, Doc, that would cost you $16,769 in today's dollars.
I can still buy a couple of those. I ain't scared.
Okay. All right. So I don't give a shit about this Willie Nelson and Dusty Rhodes.
Why? But you don't appreciate Willie. And so for the Southern promotion, dude, this was probably a big deal. It's kind of goofy to have him on there, but it's a big deal. Willie's a big deal, man. I don't think you appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big country star back then. Like, he was still in the mix.
How did that Waylon Jennings thing work out for them last year? It was such a big deal.
Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson are two different things, as much as people put them in the same category. Waylon Jennings,
like the same fucking thing to me.
But they're also in fucking Philly, though.
That's true. And the other part of that is Waylon Jennings was big to the country crowd. Now, I know we're going to hear the whole Buddy Holly fucking story from some jackass out there. Yeah. I ain't getting into it. But Waylon Jennings was huge, but huge in country. Willie crossed the fuck over, dude.
I want to hear you talk about country music and Willie Nelson as much as you want me to talk about the history of Bone Thugs and Harmony. So we can keep moving the fuck on right here. Can we agree to that? Thank you. The next match is Lex Luger versus David Spencer. Luger wins with a torture rack.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good day to be a fucking black guy. That's for damn sure.
Damn.
Because, I mean...
Wait, fucking... what day in the history of ever has been?
In 1987?
The Smoky Mountain Show.
I guess it was the day after Emancipation Proclamation before they realized that nothing really changed.
The Smoky Mountain Show that we had this talk about how long the white man has been over in human society hasn't aired yet, just so you know.
Okay.
In case you start referencing that.
Okay.
Harbert, I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, in fucking 1987, it was probably good to be Doc Gooden or fucking Daryl Strawberry getting all coked up, banging white broads. being like on a box of Wheaties and shit.
I guess, man. I wouldn't know. All right, let's
Doug
move
Williams,
on.
Doug Williams won the Super Bowl in 1987, didn't he?
Yes.
First black quarterback to do
that's
so.
Right. Well, America.
He won it in 88, but it was 87 season. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going because I think Doc and Harper are going to love this. We finally get to our first promo. That this is literally only the second promo in the show, but the first promo we'll play, and it's 48 minutes into it. So here we go. Let's hear from the new breed.
We said next week they'll be in the tournament right here on the Superstation, but you've been mentioning the name of Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Vita Lasertron.
Well, Tony, as you remember last week, we don't scream and we don't holler and yell about how we're going to hurt somebody, about how we're going to stretch them from limb to limb inside the squared circle.
We
don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it.
Jesus.
We don't have to listen to it. All we do is get inside the squared circle and take care of business. 2002 style. Boogeyman, you're prehistoric. There's no way that you can compete with the futuristic tactics of the new breed. And Lasertron, you have got problems.
Jesus Christ.
In 2002, you wouldn't believe what you're doing. Talk to him, Chris.
Boogie Woogie Man!
Jesus
Christ.
It's a
crying shame when a man doesn't know when his time is finished. When a man doesn't know when it's time to go over that hill. It's time for the new Lions to come in, Boogie. It's time for you old men to go over that hill and make room for us, Boogie Woogie. and Lasertron, you go butt, running around here. I know what the man's problem is, if he thinks he's Optimus Prime or what, but we're going to show you what it is, new breed. Because in 2002, we've been partying like it's 1999 for 3 years now. And we're going to stop partying and start taking care of business. Starting with you, Boogie Woogie, and you, Lasertron. And don't forget for 1 minute, you two midgets, Rock and Roll Express. We haven't forgotten about you for 1 minute. In 2002, we used guys like you for experiments, for medical experiments. In 2002, it's the survival of the fittest, and you're not the fittest. But we're going to shape you up, clean your act up, and get you looking right, brother. So when we shoot you back into time, and when we shoot you through the time-space continuum, you'll be right for 2002. And we don't want to hear that rock and roll.
The new breed, and they'll be in action, and we'll have more right after this.
Harper, go ahead.
Indie Wrestling 101, man. The fuck? Damn, that's just bad. Hey. And when your boy with the sunglasses, if you look at him, if you look at him real close, you can see the cameraman trying to slit his own fucking throat, fucking filming this shit. The fuck?
I wasn't ready for that one. I think Harper speaks for us all.
Yeah, the fuck? These guys suck.
Hey, look. It's real easy for guys that have never done flat back bumps or worked in the business to say, "Oh, I could do that." You know, I could get a hit off of, I don't know who you want, whatever, Mariano Rivera. I could catch a pass from Aaron Rodgers. Bro, I could cut a better promo than those guys. Right now, give me a mic, no problem.
I think for sure you could cut one better than Sean Royal. Chris Champion, I actually got to give him credit. He, for that stupid gimmick, he's actually doing okay. He can cut a promo.
That's a sunglasses guy?
No, Champion is the second one. Sean Royal was the first one.
So let me ask you this question. And again, I'm trying to bring a little bit of serious analysis to this. They're the worst promos we've seen in 3 years of doing this, right?
I would say so.
They're
fucking idiots.
Dude, Horner's better than them.
I mean, see, the thing is, at least Horner doesn't look like a fucking a walking punchline.
Right.
I don't know about that, Mr. Horner.
I mean, he's got a mullet, but I mean, these guys with the hair and, God.
This is a disaster.
Well, see, I think you're burying the gimmick, too.
We don't know. They won't fully explain the gimmick to us.
Yeah.
They're from the fucking future. Like we talked about this already.
It's like an SNL skit or something.
They're from the future. 2002.
What?
Why?
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Did they come here?
Who? You got to ask where, Dusty that.
Who, what, where, when, why? We know none of this, so I don't care. And then they just get out there and they start swallowing their tongue.
Well, Sean Roll did. Not Champion wasn't that bad. I think actually the gimmick that they're working, he's really trying to get that shit over. The problem is that shit was dumb in 87 and it's even dumber in 2018.
I had five letters after their name for my notes for this.
Why?
Mike knows them. It starts with G and ends with H.
Garbage.
No, what is it?
GTF08.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Okay.
This is garbage, man.
And why did fucking Animal kind of cover for him when he's like, I heard somebody was fucking making fun of us? No, that's not true. What?
Oh, in the opening promo?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
Dude. So, he said the space-time continuum. I was like, spell continuum, pal. Try.
I think y'all are being tough on Champion. I think he was much better than that. The beginning part.
Why are you being so
half.
Easy on him? Does he fucking listen to the show or something?
I don't know if he does or doesn't. But my point is, Chris Champion is not that bad. Sean Royal at the beginning of that, I was like, holy crap, what are we watching?
Fucking
that was terrible
too.
That's a problem too, man. It's like Magnum had a car wreck and had the Booker's brain in it when they had the car wreck. I'm starting to think maybe this wasn't Luger's fault. Maybe this was, I may have been too hard on Luger.
Well.
And you know how much I don't like to admit mistakes, but Jesus Christ, Lex Luger didn't do Lasertron. I mean, Lex Luger isn't the new breed. Shit.
Speaking of Luger, are y'all done burying the new breed?
Yeah, give me Luger. I want to bury him because this shit was boring too.
Okay, here we go. Here's Luger up next.
We're back with a total package. Lex Luger along with James J. Dillon.
You know, Lex Luger has cost me a lot of money. Yeah, cost me a lot of money. Because, you know, even I underestimated the true impact that Lex Luger was going to have on the world of professional wrestling. The world of professional athletics, period, if you want to get right down to it. And I've got a very able secretary that's been able to handle the volume of mail, which has been considerable itself. Since the four horsemen came together, but when the addition of Lex Luger as an official horseman, I've had to hire not one, but two extra secretaries just to handle the increase in the volume of mail. But I don't mind, Lex. You got to spend money when you're making money.
Let's lay it down like it is, JJ. The predominant vein in these satchels full of mail is wives, girlfriends. How can my husband or boyfriend look like you, Lex Luger? You're the most phenomenal physical specimen I've ever seen. Guy, send him. Lex, how can I look like you? Well, the truth of the matter is, let me save you all a lot of time, money, and energy. I don't have any special diet regimen. I don't have any special training regimen. What you are looking at is the most genetically gifted athlete on the face of this earth. So girls, be content. To fantasize and catch a glimpse of me on TV at your local arena. Guys, sit back in that recliner, crack open another beer, and grab some chips. The thought that you will never, ever be able to look like Lex Luger. Just relax. Now, Lex Luger, I say the world professional wrestling is at your feet. What's next? It's the U.S. heavyweight title. There's a niche that needs to be filled, the horsemen. We want another belt, isn't that right, JJ?
Correct.
It's going to happen. The key to you, you've grown soft. The discipline and regimen that got you where you are. You've been listening to the dream, the American dream. You are going to go down. The U.S. title will be mine. There's another announcement I think JJ would like to embellish on. It's very exciting for the world of professional wrestling.
Well, I just thought that, you know, that one of the things that we should do is, I was looking at tag team combinations, and it really came to highlight the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup, and I decided to put together a dream team. And when you talk a dream team, there's only one combination that immediately comes to mind, and that's, of course, the world heavyweight champion himself, Nature Boy Ric Flair, and who else but Lex Luger.
This is the combination that puts dollar signs in promoters' eyes, makes the women swoon, and fills arenas, because we're the most charismatic, the best looking, the most wrestling ability, height, size, speed, you name it. We are the dream team, the unbeatable combination. I'm talking about Nature Boy, world champion Ric Flair, and myself. Now, said Lex Luger, I get a lot of letters. Why did you become a horseman? In Daytona Beach tomorrow night, they will find out why. Because there is the greatest collection of talent ever sent in one ring at the same time. The superpowers, Nikita Koloff, Dusty Rhodes, World Wars against the Four Horsemen. Everyone that can cram in that building. When the smoke clears, the match is over. We'll find out why I became a horseman, because we are the very best at what we do. There'll be no doubt in your mind when we leave that arena. Count on it.
Man, let's go back to the ring.
Oh, boy. Doc, are you awake?
Man, I bet they were sitting in the back, and the guy sitting next to Dusty goes, "You think Lex can go 4 minutes?" I don't know, baby. We about to find out, though.
It was 3 minutes and 11 seconds for the record.
It seemed like 31 minutes and 11 seconds.
I know Lex put you to sleep, Doc, but JJ said something in there was real good. I've spent money on Lex and bringing him in, but you got to spend money to make money, which is, you know, kind of true. And then,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Lex is boring, according to you, Doc. He's being a prick here, and he's actually doing his job quite well, in my opinion.
He should have really lied and said, "I don't have any steroids either."
Wow. That would have been good. What else you got, Doc?
I don't know. The new breed put me in a foul mood.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Huh?
Read me that email again where that guy called you the N-word. That'll cheer me up.
Real quick before I ask Harper his thoughts on a doctor to piss you off when JJ said he was putting Lex and Ric Flair together as a tag team.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you pull Ric off the singular focus of holding on to the world title?
Right.
All right. So now you're criticizing JJ too.
I'll get everybody before this shit's over except for one guy.
Harper, your thoughts on Lex here.
Wouldn't you want one tag team to manage? I don't know. Because you already have Tully and Arn.
Yeah. They ain't teamed up yet.
No?
No, it was still Ole and Arn at this point, and they're still fighting that off, and Tully's fighting with Ole.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
What really is happening is Arn's kind of going between the Tully feud with Ole and the Lex feud trying to get the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Tully and Arn were not tag team as long as you think they were, thinking back, because you just always think of them together.
Yeah.
We don't remember history correctly whatsoever. So imagine, like, when you have a financial interest to cover up history, like Vince does.
Yeah, you can do it with great ease.
Right.
Harper, any other thoughts on Lex right there?
Let's just move on from Lex.
Right. See?
I agree. Well, we got the New Breed versus Rick Nelson and David Isley. The New Breed win. I don't have any other thoughts besides that. Pauper?
I do.
What?
They missed a fucking knee drop.
Yeah.
On the top rope.
Yeah. But why did they not have a manager?
Well, because they're such great talkers.
Well, let's bring them a future manager. But, you know, are we saying that Bill Dundee was so tied up with the Mod Squad, you couldn't throw him with him? I mean, something. But you, all right, Daddy, I got these two guys from the future, Daddy, and Daddy, they're going to Daddy it up, Daddy. I don't know.
You know what's so bad about the whole concept of the guys from the future? If one of the three of us, or if all of us, stumbled upon time travel tomorrow, while we would love to go back and watch some classic wrestling, like in an arena, or enjoy it like as it was happening again during that time frame, the fucking last thing I would do is want to be a wrestler back then. I would fucking go back in time and win myself a couple of lotteries. And then maybe then I would come back as a wrestler. It's just the whole concept of I'm going to be a wrestler and go back in time and save wrestling was just, ugh.
And save wrestling.
I'd go back and try to bang Heather Locklear before she got too crazy.
Yeah. And Mike doesn't know who the fuck Heather Thomas is.
Dude, that chick was so hot.
Oh, God.
Well, what he's talking about is we got a request on the Facebook page to do this is like top five 80s broads.
She would be in there for sure, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the 605 or something did a fuck, marry, or kill, and she was in it.
Yeah.
That's where that came from, I think.
I would fuck.
God almighty, she was perfect. I would have said
she still
time.
Looks good.
Well, how do you know? You've been hanging outside her window beating it?
I haven't.
You got caught with the same look that Ricky Morton had in that Armstrong's Army video.
All right. Well, we got a request for a top five 80s broad, so there you go.
Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heather Thomas. Book it, bitch.
Next up after New Breed defeats Rick Nelson and David Isley, we got Cornette in the Midnight Express with Stan Lane looking glorious with the lifeguard tank top and sunglasses, so let's give them a listen. Here it is.
Tony, go ahead and introduce me. Shut up.
I don't
up,
think
everybody.
I need to introduce
you.
You
because everybody knows who I am. A lot of things going on today. Big news. Big Bubba Rogers has shocked the wrestling world. Everybody's hearing about it. And General Skandor Akbar is a happy man today because, you know, I first met him through Mother's Oil Investments, but I knew about his power in professional wrestling. And believe me, there's nobody in wrestling but him that had enough money to get Big Bubba's services. And just remember, big things from Big Bubba Rogers. But even if you can't see Bubba, Bubba can see you. And, you know, today's the first day of the U.S. Tag Team Title Tournament, right? Well, the Midnight Express, we're going to be in that tournament, too, because, you see, it should be obvious. It should be plain. You can look at these men and see that they're the greatest things that there's ever been. But no, some people out there are so stupid, they're such idiots, that they can't realize that these men are the greatest. They want to see belts around people's waist. Well, you're going to see belts because Mama's still on my back. She's told me we got to be the best, we got to be the greatest. And she has told me if we don't get the U.S. Tag Team title in 6 weeks, she's going to call me home. So the pressure's on me, and I'm going to do it, and they're going to do it. U.S. Tag Team Championship is good as gold right in our pockets. And Rock and Roll Express, Rock and Roll Express are running around here. Everybody's saying they're the number one contenders for this. They're this, they're that. Well, let me tell you something, Rock and Roll Express. What you are is a couple of no-good punks. You're a couple of stinking pukes. The Midnight Express has made a career out of beating the Rock and Roll Express up. They ain't got no belts. They're just like everybody else, and we beat them up a million times. So Rock and Roll, you ain't no number one contenders. There ain't no contenders for nothing. And if you want to settle it, then get in the ring with them and we'll beat you up one more time, just like we've done all those times in the past. But the specter of death hanging over me in the form of the cage match with Ronnie Garvin. Well, let me tell you this. Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA, everybody in a conspiracy, everybody trying to get me killed, trying to get me assassinated. Well, let me tell you something, Ronnie Garvin. It's not over yet. Even if the lawyers can't do it, we still got a little time. Every time we try to get him in the ring, his goofy brother tries to stop us. His goofy brother runs in and saves the day. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this right now to the people of America. I am a good person. I have never done anything bad or anything wrong to anybody. I'm going to make a public plea right now. I'm a sportsman. I'm a charitable person. I bought a copy of We Are the World, and I'm making a public plea. Get on your telephone. Write a letter. Send a telegram. Sign a petition. Anything. But get me out of this match before it's too late, because they're all trying. They're all against me. They're trying to have me killed. They're trying to get rid of me.
Let's go back to the ring.
Jim Cornette. I'm a good person. I bought a copy of We Are the World.
Oh, God, I hated that fucking song.
Oh, Harper, do tell.
Dude. Like, I was in, when that shit first came out, I must have been like in the second grade or something. And they used to make us sing that shit in fucking school.
Wow.
We are the children. We are, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harper, your thoughts on Cornette right there?
Fucking Akbar got fucking mentioned.
Yeah, buddy.
I was like, wait, what? What am I watching here?
Catch the mention last week that he said about the oil.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. That was like the slight tip towards Akbar, but I think, you know, Doc asked 3 or 4 weeks ago, when was Bubba gone? And well, there's your answer.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, he comes back, but I mean, he's now made the jump to UWF.
Okay.
I believe. So that's
and fucking Stan.
Dude.
God, he looks like a fucking pussy, man. God.
He looks like a prick, and, dude, he should have had a, instead of a lifeguard shirt, he should have been wearing one of them old muff diver shirts.
God, I could picture him driving that fucking Camaro with the T-tops off.
God.
With that fucking perfect, like, a week old beard, that fucking Don Johnson stubble.
Yep.
Oh.
With three bitches in the car.
He said he slapped six before he got on the plane, so he must have had 12 waiting for him.
And I want to know what Eaton wrote on that piece of paper.
Yeah.
Because it cracked up.
No telling.
It cracked Stan up. It almost popped him.
He had that shit-eating grin the whole time, though, man. He's looking like, oh, I got all the bitches. Doc, what did you have from this?
The Akbar deal, definitely, like, he's got Mama's on his ass to win. Dude, you got a call. You got to get me out of this. Dude, that was just fantastic all the way around.
It's hard to say, man. Hard to add much more than that. It was good. Corny doing his day. I thought it was all right, like, throughout it. I didn't, like, have anything spectacular. But when he brought out the "I'm a good person," I bought a copy of We
I'm
Are the
a
World,
good that, person.
Yeah, I'm a good person. I bought We Are the World. That one. That's I was like, wow. Okay. That's nice. All right, we'll keep going. We got Nikita Koloff versus Larry Stevens. Nikita wins pretty quickly, and that's followed up by a Nikita promo. I am not playing this.
Okay.
Okay.
Thoughts, Doc, or did you want to hear it? I'm confused.
Nikita?
Yes.
Oh, I fast forward to do that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just say that he talks about Luger and the U.S. title. He also talks about Pietrov and Ivan Koloff and a Russian chain match they're going to have. It's just a – he needs Ivan. He needs a mouthpiece. It's you know, back in 87, we probably listened to him and was like, yeah, he sounds Russian and it was all right. But, like, we go back now and you look at it and you go, fuck, Ivan really still sounds good. But Nikita, as we're older, is like, oh, this ain't working for us.
Yeah, no. Imagine him walking around talking like that nonstop.
Yes, that's funny.
But I'm like, I'm teaching – going to, like, teacher parents fucking conferences and shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, man. But it's not working for me. No. All right. Arn Anderson is up next, and let's listen to Arn. Here it is.
We're back here with a member of the Four Horsemen, this man, Arn Anderson.
Tony Schiavone, the one thing I've always prided myself on ever since we first made eye contact is I don't shoot a lot of bull. When I come out here and I spend time, anybody wants to pass the quality of time on this TV station, you don't come out here and talk about women. You don't come out here and talk about your toys. I'm going to change all of the scenario for one brief time. I want to talk about wrestling. You see, there's a match coming up in Daytona Beach that's going to set all, what I might say, attendance records. It's going to be a gut check. What it's going to do is be a measuring stick for tag team equivalency. I'm talking about the Road Warriors, the American Dream, and Nikita Koloff all on one team. If you've ever pictured that into your realm, you think, what team could you put against that team that would have any chance? You see, Dusty Rhodes has been the very best for as long as I can remember. He's took Nikita Koloff and molded him into a super champion. You look at the Road Warriors, they're the most awesome force in professional wrestling. You figure there's no four guys you can stick together that would even pose a chance. But you got to remember one thing, Tony Schiavone. We're the Four Horsemen are not four guys that are stuck together. We're four guys that train together, live together, travel together. And I'm going to use one key word, Daytona Beach. When it's all said and done, you're going to remember this word. We sacrifice together. You see, ego doesn't enter into what we do. We don't worry about whatever you might want to call it. We don't care about our ego getting tarnished, our good looks getting tarnished. When we get in a match, I'll sacrifice, Luger will sacrifice, Tony will sacrifice, and so will the World Heavyweight Champion, because you see, all we care about is getting our power raised. You want to be a horseman, it's not because all these people say, oh, you're a horseman. It's not because you got a satin jacket that says horseman on the back. The only way you can claim to be a horseman is to get out there, and when it gets tough, you suck it up. You get in that gym on the days you don't want to get in the gym. You pull that wrestling boot on when you can't pull it on because you got an ankle this big. What it's called a gut check. It's called a measuring stick. So Daytona Beach, you want to get a ticket, you want to pull up a seat, you want to play, you want to get your money's worth, you're going to get your money's worth, because I assure you, the Four Horsemen will show you nothing but tag team excellence. Rhodes, Road Warriors, Nikita, pull on your boots. Tie them up real tight. We're coming for you in Daytona.
Arn Anderson, fans, back to the ring.
Doc, you want to go first?
That's what talking in the goddamn building sounds like.
Yeah, really, huh?
Jesus, that was awesome. Intensity, he was fired up. He has a way with phrases, too. Ever since we first laid eyes on each other, everybody wants to get their paw raised. Just the word I'm going to... I mean, those are interesting words. I mean, it's not like he's using 50-cent words out there, but it's the turn of phrase that makes... It's different. It's different. Most people get their hand raised. He's talking about his paw. just the word we're going to use is sacrifice. That made me think, well, shit, if that's a key word, what are they... Are they going to sacrifice Dusty? That sounds awesome. Just you go to the gym the day you don't want to go to the gym. That's man shit. That's adult shit. Yeah, I do. You tell your kids, I do shit every day I don't want to do. That's what being an adult is. That shit was awesome.
Harper, what'd you have from it?
That's fucking Arn, man. He can't have a bad promo, can he?
he could stumble through something. Like, that wasn't even great, and it was still
right.
Good. I mean, like he. I mean, just a couple of lines, like Doc said, with the, you know, I come out here to get my paw raised instead of my hand. And it's like, then he said something like, "There's one thing I take pride in. I don't shoot a lot of bull." He technically doesn't, but he also did lie in that, which was cool because he's a heel. He said that the horsemen don't come out there talking about women. Well, that's kind of all Lex and Rick do, but whatever. I mean, he's a heel. He can get away with that, and that's what made it good. You think back to every Arn promo you've ever heard, and if you rated it on a scale from, A-plus through F, I mean, did he ever deliver anything that wasn't a B-plus, A-minus? I can't think of nothing. He's always on it. I judge it by the fact that, like, we generally have never skipped an Arn promo. I mean, it's like, he delivers, dude. That's what it boils down to. So, Harper, anything else?
No, just perfect.
Next up is Bob and Brad Armstrong versus Alan Martin and Randy Barber. The Armstrongs win. Doc, do you have anything from that?
Man, I thought the Armstrongs went a long time with these two guys. I was like, man, this must be, I mean, we're not going to get Flair. We're not going to get Dusty outside of those vignettes. Everybody must have had to go.
This is about 15 minutes. They went about 15 minutes with those guys.
People got to go. Yeah. Long match. Long matches today. Somebody must have got snowed in April, if you know what I mean. Everybody had the Buddy Landale flu.
Let's keep going then. So it was a long one. More Dusty and Willie Nelson segment after that match.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Then it was a commercial for a movie called Branded, which was a Western. I'm sure that made Doc's dad's dick nice and hard, a Western.
Are they branding the cow? Are they branding the cow or they're slaves?
Bruh, oh Jesus. I don't know, but I saw that commercial, and I'm looking for it as we're on here. I saw that commercial, and I was like, holy shit.
I haven't even heard of it.
I've never heard that movie before. I was like, what is this shit? Let me see if I can get to it, actually. Shit.
Bruh, it's funny that we both had the same thing. I was like, I bet my dad would love that stupid shit.
Did you really?
Yes.
I just was kind of like, look at this. A National Cable Month. See us now. Is this it?
First time I laid eyes on you in Dodge City, I knew you was the man for the job.
Their plan couldn't fail.
The scheme's foolproof. You can take it easy for the rest of your life.
Was that Chuck Connors?
The biggest ranch in the Southwest.
Until their partner turned out to be his own man. Now, Alan Ladd is branded. 7 o'clock on Superstation 17, Sunday night.
Ugh. God, imagine paying cable back then to watch that fucking shit. Jesus.
That fucking movie was made in 1950.
Oh, God.
Doc's dad loved that.
Dude, let me tell you this. I'd rather go watch a fucking musical than fucking sit around and watch Westerns.
Unforgiven's good.
Is it?
I love it because Doc's getting hot because his dad loved that shit. John Wayne, motherfucker.
What a whip. Just a beating.
Oh, shit. Okay. We'll keep going. There is a... Was there a match? Yeah, there was a match. Rude and Manny versus Bill Tabb and Lee Peek. Rude and Manny obviously get the win. Doc, anything from that you had?
Who? Oh, yeah. No, they did the double move and got him on out of there. Yeah.
Yeah, Rude Manny and Bill Tabb and Lee Peek. Harper, do you have anything from it?
No.
All right. I got to play Paul and Rude here and Manny to hear, because Rick Rude gives zero fucks right here, and we got to listen to it. Here it
Dude,
is.
Dude, he looked like a prick during the match.
Yeah, here it is.
I want to say something. Oliver Humperdinck down in Florida, my friend, you're doing a great job. Teach those people a lesson. Tonight in Philadelphia, Road Warriors, tell you something, Paul Ellery. One thing, when it's all over, you will say they did not defeat my world champions. And you can tell all your friends that you had an opportunity to wrestle the world champions. Monday night in Phoenix, Arizona, the biggest night in Phoenix history. You're going to see my world champions. Paul Ellery, you're going to try it again. And you're going down with your legion of doom.
That's right, you know, Shivani, in the world of professional sports, every now and then there's mismatches that take place. And you win this one today, you saw Big Road Warrior Animal come out here and just blow over some Nimrod on national television. Well, Animal, I don't think tonight in Philly it's going to be anything like that. I don't think Monday night in Phoenix you're going to stand a chance. Where's Hawk? You know, Manny, I think Hawk got the bad news and maybe flew south.
What a winner, huh?
But sooner or later, we're going to corner you. We're going to take you down. Paul Ellering and the Legion of Dumb, you're on your way out. Tell them.
You know all the people in the world today crying on and on.
All right, bro. I got to say something.
Oh.
Rick Rude just gives zero fucks.
Yeah.
He told Animal he wasn't shit because he just beat a nobody today. And then he called the Warriors the Legion of Dumb. You tell me somebody else besides Flair and the Horsemen that was getting away with that kind of shit. He didn't give two shits. Harper, your thoughts on what we heard there?
So they're flying to Philly like right after the show?
Sure, why not? They got two jets.
Yeah.
They're spending money, brother. Yeah, I guess, shit. Man, Rude is just awesome, dude. He's such a prick. I always go back to what Doc said. Doc was like, well, what if they'd have brought Rude in as a babyface? And then Doc goes, nah, fuck that. He was a prick. He couldn't. He just
wouldn't work.
That vibe. No, he wouldn't. Doc, what did you have from this?
Called it somebody a Nimrod and just like, okay, you ran over that Nimrod, but let's see you do it to us. That ain't going to happen, pal.
He gave zero. He just didn't give a shit, dude. It was great. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Good time.
He's a dick. Anything else from anything else?
Well, there he is.
Awesome twosome carrying the heavy metal, dude.
Yeah, I know I didn't play that part of it, but because I didn't think
perfect.
There was much there. Yeah. I mean, Manny listens to the show, so no disrespect to him, but.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I got some info that he does.
Hey, Manny.
Everybody wants to be friends with Manny now.
You wanted to beat me up one time in a bar in Denton, Texas.
Doc, what did he tell you anything, or he just looked at you like, shut up?
He just looked at, well, I had a buddy that wanted me to walk up and goes, hey, Manny Fernandez came in. Do your Dusty impersonation. So I did. And he just kind of looked at me.
But then later, you did a Dusty imitation, and Manny looked at you like, fuck's wrong with you, asshole.
Right. But later on, we were all sitting in a bar, in a booth at the bar, and he was singing Journey songs with his lighter up in the air, like, Highway Run. You know.
All right. Yeah.
Harper knows that song.
Yeah. So he didn't like your Dusty impression, though.
I don't care. He saw the guns that I was flashing at him, and he stepped back a step. I know.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, after that promo, there's a commercial. I'm no car guy, but how the hell does Napa offer a lifetime warranty on brakes?
Damn. No, that's on the pads.
Pads,
okay.
Dude.
Right. It said brakes.
It's the pads. You see what happens is you could turn the pads in, and they give you new ones.
Well, they need to say that on a commercial because that was kind of false advertising.
Yeah, you could turn in your old brake pads if they're not like completely destroyed.
God, okay. Talk about something that people don't do anymore, I would guess. I've never heard, and not today, maybe so.
Yeah, well,
who knows? Whatever.
I've driven piece of shit cars my whole life. I know about all this shit.
Okay. The next matchup is the Barbarian versus Cougar J. Barbarian
hold
wins.
Hold on. What's the biggest piece of shit car you've ever driven?
Oh, God.
Year, make, and model.
The biggest piece of shit? Well, I had a 1989 Chevy truck that was an old work truck. And it was like Christine. It wouldn't die. I drove it. I got into a wreck on the interstate. And in front of it, like, hit the fucking wall. And all it did was bent the fucking bumper a little bit. I pulled it out and just fucking drove home. It wouldn't die. I would take it to the spillway when I used to go hunting back there. And I would just floor it because it's all these dirt roads full of mud. And I would get all four tires off the ground like in Dukes of Hazzard. Just bam, bruh. And the thing wouldn't die. And it finally, God, I forgot what happened to that damn truck. But yeah, man.
What color was it?
It was an old white work truck. You know, it was a Cheyenne 2500. I mean, it was built to fucking built to last, man.
Okay,
it was so like those trucks you see, like the ISIS guys driving around in. Okay.
let me continue with this line of questioning. You mentioned earlier in that story that you would go hunting.
Right.
Hunting for what?
Well, in a spillway, I don't know if you still can, but I used to go squirrel hunting back there.
What's the spillway?
I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, yeah, I've never been back there like Harper has, but
it's an area where it's like in between Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River. And what happens
if you drive to New Orleans, you drive across it.
Right. And then when a river gets too high during the spring, what happens is all the snow and shit melts from up north, and then when it comes down here,
they open up the spillway.
Right. And they open up the spillway to take stress off of it, and the water goes into Lake Pontchartrain. But they only do it about once every like 10 years.
And so would you actually shoot some squirrels?
Yeah, they got squirrels. Yeah, they got shit back there.
This is riveting audio.
So what do you use to shoot a squirrel so that it doesn't completely explode when you shoot it?
You can use a shotgun. You use bird shot.
Okay, so what would you do with the squirrel after you shot it?
You would clean it, and then you put it, you can cut them up and put them in gumbo.
That's where I was trying to get, Mike.
Yeah.
Because there are a bunch of people listening to this that are going, what the fuck, dude? He's eating squirrels. What the fuck is that about?
Hold on. I gotta throw a fucking flag. I ain't never ate no fucking squirrel. I ain't no hillbilly. I'm from the city of New Orleans. My people, where I'm from in the city of New Orleans, don't hunt no fucking squirrels, okay?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so Harper's like,
let's
Harper's
clear
like
that
a,
up.
Harper's like a city-fied hillbilly, dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, fishing, that's a different story. I did a lot of fishing growing up. Now, my dad was into that hunting shit, and I went a couple times, but that shit don't do nothing for me. Fishing, I used to like fishing. That's kind of relaxing. Get away from the city, and that's cool. Fucking hunting, I ain't got no time to be shooting no animals.
I mean,
that shit is for the birds.
Before fucking wrestling happened, I used to go hunting. Like, I was in a hunting camp, and we used to go set up the fucking food plots and the corn feeders and go out there and get drunk. And
that shit's a lot of work, dude.
Yeah, and it costs a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, exactly, it does. All right, Doc, are you done questioning Harper's hunting?
It feels like we just broke into like y'all two are like Teddy Fowler and Stone Cold here, man.
I don't know about that. Tim Horner versus Clement Fields up next. Horner wins. Nothing else to see here. Doc, would you agree? Harper, you?
Yeah.
Barry Windham and Ron Garvin cut a promo. Nothing much from it. Garvin does respond to Cornette, but there's not much else. Doc, do you have anything from it?
We're just darn happy to be back in this tournament. Golly gee.
Did they mention why it's them and not, you know, Garvins? No?
No. My theory and assumption is, remember, they were the last ones to hold the belts, them as a team. So I guess from a logic standpoint it was, well, they lost it on some bullshit, so it's only fair that we put these two back together to go for the titles. Like, that part does make sense to me. But since all that's happened, Ronnie and Jimmy are now on the same side too, so you could make a case that you should put them together. That's not happening though, so I think that's why they did it and they put them together. I don't know. We'd have to ask Dusty. Unfortunately, he ain't here, but I think that's what's going on. So next match is Lasertron versus Vernon Deaton. Lasertron comes out to some music that's like a cross between techno and maybe 80s rap or even disco. I don't know how to describe it other than that. But here's the thing. This same week on NWA Worldwide, I posted it on the Twitter at BTT underscore podcast. Hector comes out to War Machine by Kiss. I'm sorry, Lasertron comes out to War Machine by Kiss. So on
really?
This show, he came out. Yes. I'm like, what am I watching? And I posted it on Twitter because of that. So go give the show a follow and scroll down. You'll see it. I don't tweet a whole lot from that page, so it should still be up. at BTT_podcast. Yes, he comes out to War Machine by Kiss. It's the craziest thing. Anyway, Hector Beats or Lasertron. I keep calling him Hector Beats Vernon Deaton. Did you have anything for that match, Hopper?
No.
Doc, you?
No.
All right. Let's go to the last promo. It gets cut off, so we won't actually hear all of what Tully says, but I got a kick out of what JJ said, as this is the closeout of the show. Here it is.
World TV champion Tully Blanchard along with James J. Dillon.
Well, we're gearing up number one for tomorrow night at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach. I think it's time to put a halt to all the rhetoric and get down to the action. Beautiful facility, and I think it only warrants that the Four Horsemen, if they're going to make one appearance all in the same ring at the same time anywhere in the South, certainly Daytona Beach would be fitting. I just hope the Road Warriors and the Superpowers are up to the occasion, because I guarantee you we will be. You know, Mr. Blanchard, I was out here a little bit earlier with Lex Luger, and we're talking about having to hire some extra people to handle the volume of mail, but by the same token, you get a tremendous amount of mail yourself as the World Television Champion, people writing in who they'd like to see you against in arenas all across the country. And, you know, with everything that's happened with the Four Horsemen, my main job is still Administrative Director of Tully Blanchard Enterprises, but I think that the company has grown to such heights that I think really you require a personal private secretary of your own, and right now I'm doing a little job hunting.
Well, that's good, James, but you know, I tell you what, I don't want to correct you right here on national TV, but your main job is making us money. That's it, making us money. That's what it all it is. That's what we do this for. That's why I can come out here and put $10,000 on myself, because James J. makes us so much money. And you know, that's why everybody else, no matter what they say, get in that ring and try to beat people right here on national television, because they want to move up that ladder, because they want to wrestle me on national TV for this and really become something. You know, and you think back, Brad Armstrong, Tim Horner, but you know, you don't see Dusty Rhodes' name. You don't see Ricky Morton's name. They talk about it. They want to wrestle you, but they never want to get on here. Put your abilities on the line on national television. You know, that's the only way to really prove you're the best, JJ. Do it right here for the most viewers. 47 million every week. Put it on the line right there.
All right, it gets cut off at that point, so we don't get to hear Tully wrap things up. But I thought JJ telling Tully, I need to get you a personal secretary immediately. It felt like JJ's way of telling Tully, I'm going to get you a little side piece of ass so you can bang on the side. But maybe that's just me. Doc, your thoughts?
Dude, I want to know what happens here, man.
Yeah, what's come on, bro.
It gets clipped, man. I don't know what he says.
It's just weird hearing Tully Blanchard at this time of the height of his career hear the word Tim Horner come out of his fucking mouth.
All roads lead back to Horner.
This all goes back to Magnum's car wreck.
What's the? Here's the thing. Talking about Tim, what's the irony? I think it was Philip Allen that said it on a Facebook page. What is, like, imagine this. We're finally got rid of Horner on the Smoky Mountain show.
Fuck. Right?
He's gone.
Yeah.
But only come back?
Well,
not in the, shush.
All right. Yeah.
But the thing is, as soon as he leaves Smoky Mountain, quote unquote leaves, not technically, but as soon as he's gone in a major way as Tim Horner, all of a sudden he's getting mentioned by the Horsemen on Saturday night. And I agree with Philip Allen. I don't remember this shit for nothing. I don't remember Tim Horner being involved with no Ole. I don't remember it. That's how bad it must have been. So that's where we're at. Tim Horner leaves, and now he's here. Hopper, any other thoughts on the promo there?
No.
All right. Well, let's grade this.
I just want to know what I mean. Like what Doc said, what's the finish to this shit?
I'm not sharing that at this point in time. Let us go now to the ratings and the Rolex. I guess I'll go first. I will give my Rolex to Arn because I really feel like I don't know who else to give it to. I almost want to give it to Rick Rude, but I mean, it's so hard not to give it to Arn. So I'll give mine to Arn. Doc, who you can give yours to?
Wait, are we giving out Rolexes or the rating?
You can do both.
What was your rating?
I didn't rate mine yet. I better give Rolex to Arn.
I'll give the Rolex to Arn Anderson, sir.
Okay. Harper, who are you giving yours to?
I want to give mine a Cornette for mention. We are the world.
And Akbar?
Yeah, and Akbar.
Doc, who you want to give your, or which you can give the rating? What kind of rating you giving it?
Okay. So navigating the 2 hours was a little rough. YouTube is not a friendly app, but it was fun to go back and watch the local promos and the commercials. And I really think in a lot of ways that stuff helped this episode out in my mind.
Yes.
So the trip down the memory lane and the nostalgia that I got from seeing my childhood come back in front of me probably makes this higher than it would have been if it had just been on the network. But this was not a good episode. No Flair, no Dusty. I feel like I might be being generous here. C+.
All right. I'm going to give it a B-. I don't think it was that good either.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I agree. I mean, C+ and B- is very close, but I don't think it was that good either. I mean, it beats anything I'm going to watch today, if I'm watching anything, but B+, yeah. B-. Oh, Doc, Harper, you?
I'll give it a solid B, just because we had that we got to see that tag team match that seemed to be the only match that was worth watching with the Russians and Barry and Garvin, and the fucking commercials kind of brings it up a notch.
Bro, some of these commercials, bro.
Bro, there it is right there, dude. $6,000 by the Mitsubishi pickup truck.
Mitsubishi pickup truck, $56.95. Don't forget the freight, tax, tag, and dealer installed options, though. In other words, you're going to spend $1,000 more, motherfuckers.
Yeah, what's the dealer installations to that fucking thing? The windows roll down?
Yeah, back then, who knows? But the commercials were cool. If you watch it on YouTube, it is kind of fun to watch some of these commercials, man. There's some gems in there.
Just the one with the watch. It was a local commercial.
Yeah, you can go get you like a watch for $28.
And that fucking, they had one that was gold. I'm thinking, if you put that shit on your wrist, it would probably turn so green, people probably think it turned into a fucking Ninja Turtle. Who in the fuck would wear that shit?
People in the 80s.
Yeah.
People in the 80s is right. There was an NBA commercial, too. There it is. Oh, I'm trying to find it.
Dude, I remember watching. Yeah, because they had the fucking playoffs. And I remember as a kid, the kids would come back in school, be like, oh, you saw the playoffs, Jordan, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, fuck. I can't see any of this shit.
Yep. There it is. The NBA play. Game 3, Boston versus Chicago.
Boston and Chicago. Dude, man, it's Jordan versus Bird, right? I mean, fuck. That's good there shit. It
is. Yep. Tuesday, Boston versus Chicago, 8 p.m., Superstation 17. Shit. Oh, I remember them days, man. You're right. And there was no chance I was seeing that shit during the week. Weekend, maybe, but week, no. Wasn't happening. That kind of sucked. But, yep, so there's the watch one, Harper. Just all kind of just shenanigans. Look at these watches.
Ugly-ass right. Pieces of shit. Yeah. General merchandise. What a fucking fucked up store that was.
That was a real store?
Yeah, it was.
I don't remember that.
Just terrible. All
right, so Doc gave it a C+. Harper gave it a B. I gave it a B-. Rolexes go to Arn and Cornette from Harper. Doc, give me some cover time while I bring up the promo of the week. Anything you want to ask Harper while we're sitting here bullshitting?
Wait, what am I doing?
I need some cover time while I pull up the promo of the week. Make sure it's all queued up.
Okay, so when you watch some of these commercials, and the time value of money is ridiculous, but man, the world was a different place in 1987 than it is today.
Yeah.
I was shocked at how much has changed. Just, dude, everybody goes, let's go, let's make America greater. Fuck the good old days, man. I like having the internet and fucking smartphones and fucking
luxuries. Well, the good thing is back then, I mean, you could fucking just lie to people and they couldn't check you.
You can do that, trust me. You can still do that.
And that's one of the good things about fucking wrestling. You could just make up shit and.
Now that part's true.
You know, they can't fact check you.
even if kayfabe would have made it out of the early 90s, it would have never made it past the internet. The internet is
what the internet fucking destroyed it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, it's going to destroy all sports at some point because everything's a work, in my opinion.
It's going to destroy every fucking type of business there is.
It's going to destroy humanity.
Right.
At one point, it's going to destroy that too. But that's a story for another day. I don't want to sound like Mr. Gloom and Doom. All right. I got the promo of the week queued up. So.
With the Cowboys?
Y'all see the video. The title of this video on YouTube is Lawler Knocks Out Miss Texas. And it's about a 4-minute clip. And it's a hell of a clip, man. That's all I'm going to say. It's a hell of a clip. So this is going to be one of our commentary. I'll put this on the YouTube channel as one of our commentary episodes. We'll call it Episode 18, Jerry Lawler Slaps Miss Texas. So, Doc, have you seen this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never seen this. My classic wrestling knowledge is shitty. You heard that guy at the beginning of the show.
All right. Hopper, you seen it?
No.
That's what I thought. So let's hit play. And Lawler's in it, Miss Texas, and Dave Brown. Here it is.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Ranger, head out of here. Come on, you won the match. Now get out of here. You made your point with a goofy hawk.
Wait a minute. Here comes trouble. Miss Texas.
Miss Texas. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Get out there, Dave, and see what's going on.
Wait a minute. What is this?
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something, you idiot.
Oh, please.
Don't even think about getting in the ring with the Texas Ranger. You are no match for the Texas Ranger.
I'm not getting in the ring with anybody. I'm just trying to help the kid out of there. There's no reason for a jerk like this to bring a rope out in a wrestling match. You don't need any of that kind of garbage. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And and speaking of garbage, we don't need you out here either, okay? Let me straighten you out, and I'll straighten
me out.
I am not retired, and Eric Embry did not put anybody out. If you think
you're the biggest phony walking around today.
Hey, you can run your mouth all you want to. Eric Embry brings you in here and calls you Miss Texas. Well, let me tell you something.
I am.
Oh, you are Miss Texas?
Yes, I am.
Well, let me tell you something, Miss Texas.
Show me respect,
let me just tell you something, Miss Texas.
Go ahead.
You see these girls right here in this area that we have around Tennessee and around the Mid-South? You see them? What do you think of them?
Oh, God.
I see Margie.
Let me tell you about these Tennessee women, Miss Texas.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you. Their rear ends would make you a Sunday face. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we think of you. Do you hear what I said? Their rear ends would make you a Sunday face. Don't put your hands on me.
I can put my hand wherever I please.
Well, all
you
I'm
saying. I'd have slapped you.
Do what?
I'd have slapped you. I'm sick of you.
Hey, let me just say this now. You've been out here slapping a lot of people. I saw you slap downtown Bruno, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Wait a minute. You know I beat downtown Bruno. You put on some tight chunks, get in the ring, I can beat you. go ahead.
All I want to tell you is this.
You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah, well, you're not dealing with downtown Bruno
here.
Yeah? You put your hands on me, and I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. You understand
that?
So don't even talk about it. And don't whoa! They got here.
Oh.
I tell you what.
He was obviously provoked, Dave. No doubt about that.
There's no doubt about it. And Eddie.
He popped a piss out of her.
I heard Eddie as he went.
Yeah,
stay out of it.
Stay out of it.
Trying to see what he's telling him. They're out of microphone range. He's probably telling him to back off. You don't want the doctor to extend that.
Y'all
want to
see that again?
Bob, you might be injured.
A real black
here.
Woman would have taken off her shoe and thrown it at him after that.
So far alone, but
shut the fuck up.
Nothing. Yeah, well,
All right.
If she had been any younger, he'd have asked her for a date.
Oh, God. All right. Doc, your first Harper, your reaction when he popped her.
Dude,
I had one.
He laid into her.
Yeah. She's tough, though.
Yeah.
She was tough.
And something you just, as we say, something you will not see now.
Who was the baby face here? Right.
This is USWA.
The fucking cowboy didn't even come to her fucking aid.
Okay, do you know who the cowboy is?
Who is it?
Mike, do you know?
I don't remember. I don't have a lot of USWA knowledge.
I did some looking. I think it's Gary Young.
Oh, okay.
On the last Stone Cold podcast, he told a story that Gary Young had some car that he used to get to around the territories that he passed 1,000,000 miles on.
Damn.
Jeez. Jesus.
Wrestlers. Can you imagine? And he said it too. He goes, can you imagine? That car could write a book. Miles of wrestling miles.
What kind of car was it?
I forget. You know? He says it on the episode, but I was at work, man. I was drunk. So
I was at work. I was drunk. Did y'all catch that? God.
But 1,000,000 wrestling miles in the late 80s and early 90s probably is a fascinating story. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a lot of miles. Going back to what Harper said, I mean, obviously it's not something you see today, but I mean, you do that today. Can you imagine the social media outrage? Even if it's a storyline, it's not, I mean,
right.
We're not talking
about. You couldn't do this now.
Yeah, it would be like, no, that's not working for us. The outrage would be unreal. Even though there's intergender matches, I guess that's totally different than the way he slapped the piss out of her.
This looked real.
Yeah.
Dude. So I got a queued up.
And she's tough enough. She probably told him, don't fuck this up. Lay it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here it is. We'll relive it one more time before we get out of here.
You're not dealing with downtown Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah?
You put your hands on me and I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. You understand that? So don't even talk about it. And don't it. Whoa.
Damn. So what's the odds that she's actually not selling and she just took that shit and took a bump, like a real bump?
I don't know, but the Texas Ranger's the problem here. He sold out like shit, man. If your bitch gets paintbrushed like that, you just stand there? What the hell?
Yeah.
That was insane, man. God damn, that was crazy.
World star.
Do you think she do you think she hit him harder than he expected? So he was like, fuck it, I'll just return fire here.
Because
everybody that's been around her said that she was no joke.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories about her, bro. She was a tough one.
Right.
She didn't take no shit, dude. There's a story. I mean, actually, I didn't hear this from somebody I know. I heard this on a podcast. There's a story, maybe Bruce Pritchard told it, of her in TNA. She roughed up.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And the bitch,
and I don't know, but they went crying to.
I think it was Pritchard was like, Jackie roughed up some broad, and Pritchard was like, Jackie, it's not the 80s anymore. You can't do that shit. which is kind of like weird in a way, because for whatever Pritchard is on his podcast and tells stories and whatever he does, that part's true. Like, you just can't get in there and teach people a lesson. And Jackie's like, Miss Jackie just ripped us. She just beat the piss. It might have been Brooke.
Maybe.
Adam.
Tessmacher.
I think it was her. But evidently, Jackie beat the fuck out of her. And then she came back crying. And Jackie was like, I don't know what you want me to do. I mean, it's wrestling. What you want from me? And I just taught the girl a lesson, you know? And Bruce was like, Jackie, you can't do that no more. It's not the fucking 80s. But can you imagine? I mean, she was a tough one. I've heard some stories from people I know that knew her. And they're like, yeah, she was a bad motherfucker. She didn't take nothing, man. So, but that's this week's episode. There you have it. Harper, you got anything to plug, man? This will drop before your actually next two Wildcat shows that are August 10th August, and 11th.
That's right. August 10th, we're going to be in St. Gabriel at the Premier Soccer Complex. And then
August 11th?
That's the one on the 10th, right?
Yeah, yeah. The 10th is at Premier, but isn't there one on the 11th, too?
Right. That's the one in Metairie at the Magnolia Building.
So there you go. If you're in the area, go see Harper. Buy a ticket.
And buy a ticket, bitch.
There you go. Check out the Facebook page again, tinyurl.com/BTFB group. Go check out our links in the show description where you can find all of the t-shirt links, the Pro Wrestling Tee store, the Tee Public store. Best way to get to the Pro Wrestling Tee store, facebook.com/BrooklynTerritory. Or again, click on the links. And then shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons that are out there. Thanks for being patrons. You can become one by going to tinyurl.com/BTFB patron. And Hall of Fame patrons, really appreciate all you do for the show. And then I want to shout out a couple of shows out there that really do help us out and promote our show as well. Shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with ROH's Brian Malonis, doing their thing every single Monday. Just search WPAM wherever you get your podcast from. Get a nice mix of classic, maybe some new stuff as well. Again, Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett every single Monday. And then Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast run by buddies of mine, Joe Murata, Michael Quinn, as they give their take on the northern side of professional wrestling's history. Slightly classier, definitely more professional than us. Thank you, Joe and Quinn, for all of your plugs. Greatly appreciated. Please give them a listen. They support us, so you should support them. And I don't have anything else. Doc, you tuck it out yet?
Yeah.
Doc changed his voice. I just want to leave you guys thinking about sugar plum fairies in your heads here. Our big announcement.
Oh, do we really want to say what it is?
Let's leave it for next week.
No, we can't. We fucked with them for long enough, dude.
Let's leave it for next week.
Not pressed to like get it out there right now. Just tell Harper.
What is it?
Go ahead, Doc. It's your idea.
Bro, I had some special people come in there. I had to say goodnight to a little one there. Let's tease them for next week. We got a big announcement. It's breaking down. We gotta go, folks. we'll see you next week.
It's breaking down.
Oh my god, we gotta go see it next week.
As Jim Ross used to say on UWF, we got a chaotic situation here. Jesus Christ! Every week
we got a little bit more to put together. We'll put a little bit, you know, we hear this all the time at work. We'll put a little bit meat on the bone for next week when we make the big announcement. How about that?
That's right. And we got
to get
thanks.
We have to get some. We need a strategic approach to this, and we're going to have to put together a couple of horizontal integration points
to level set.
Well, we need a level set on this too. We do need a level set.
SAP logic, God. I feel like I'm at work with you using that language. Good Lord. We're in the boardroom right now. Where are we at listening to these motherfuckers? Okay.
It's corporate carny, man. That's what it is.
Dude, it really is. There's no That's why I always say everything leads back to wrestling. These corporate motherfuckers who don't like wrestling, everything's wrestling. Because they use the same goddamn jargon. It's just different language, bro. Really is.
It is. It's 100%. Yeah. And you see some people that are fucking as skilled at it as Daryl Van Horn is at speaking carny in tongues, man.
All right. Special shout out to our big patron contributors, disrespectfully classy Marky Blassie and Hall of Fame patron at K_Row86 Kyle Riley. Thanks for being big time patrons. Special shout out to the other Hall of Fame patrons as well. Thank you for all of your support again. Let me go ahead and get through a Mitchell Johns 18, Spy Boy Sports Cap, Merciless Jones, JMM 7530, DR1851, Rube 1452, Frog Zeppelin, Philip Allen, R. Smith 9000, 945 Sports Beat, Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, MPRU83, Alice, RE Miller 39, Justin underscore Andretti, J Shiny 21, Natural Hacks, Out Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, USC 49 Dodger, GR Greeny 3rd, TR 94, SV Padrum, Martin House 71, Tim Moreci, Coleman 822, Gobbled Unreal, Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. And we're going to get out of here. Pauper, hit the tagline, take us home.
Fuck it, bitch.